Want to know how the early settlers in Canada lived? Then a visit to Fort White Alive, just outside Winnipeg, will answer all your questions, including allowing you to step inside a replica of one of the original sod houses. Lisa Turner is one of the on-site experts.
The sod house here we have on site is a replica of a sod house that would have been made in about the 1880s here on the prairies when we had settlers come across from Europe. So there was a big push to get the Manitoba prairies settled, so they encouraged people to come across and find a plot of land. So they got 160 acres for free. And with that, they got a plot of land that they had to settle there and grow a crop in their first year. But in that process, they need to be able to make a home. So while they were clearing their lands, they were able to remove sod, which is that first layer of grass that you're pulling up as you're clearing your lands. And what they would do is they would dig down about 3.5 feet and then make their walls out of these sod bricks. So they'd always go root to root and grass blade to grass blade so that it would intertwine. So those grasses that were still alive, those roots would lock together and create a very solid foundation for your home. This home was fantastic. So it had great insulating properties so that it would stay cool in the summer and warm in the winter. And if there was ever a grass fire going across the prairies, it would actually roll right over top of your home and your home wouldn't burn. So it was a very safe, secure place as well.
Is this what they generally stayed in, or did they kind of try and upgrade a bit later?
They would actually try to upgrade within about 5 years or so. And that was enough time to create enough cash flow to be able to buy some timber. Timber wasn't a very vast commodity on the prairies. It was very bald. So you had to be able to find the means to acquire such things. The sod house was great in the sense that it was very solid. It provided your home, but it wasn't very large. So they'd always try to upgrade to a wood timber home that was a bit larger. There'd be a bit more room. The only downfall in the end was that it was a bit breezier because you had some lovely drafts come through, and the women weren't necessarily as keen on that fact.
What kind of things did they use within the home as well?
Everything that was in there was multi-use. So if you had such things as a bench, your bench would actually also be home for a small child at night. You'd have the bench lid that would rise, and then your child could sleep in there to begin with. Once your child grew out of that space, you could use it as storage. And then the bench seat, once it was down, would be a working space for you as well. So different things that the pioneers had to make their lives a little bit easier while they were doing things were things like sock stretchers. So it was a big era of using wool, and wool is a great product, except for it likes to shrink a lot. So they actually would create things like sock stretchers and dryers so that you'd be able to stretch your sock across this implement. You would peg it in there so it didn't shrink and then would dry on there. Other things that they were very creative with, they would create a metal curling iron as well as crimpers so that these ladies, when their men went off in the winter and they came back, they'd be able to pretty themselves up and use that lovely crimper or curling iron. They'd heat it up over the stove and then try not to make themselves beautiful without burning their hair off. Other things is they would make something like a mandolin where they would be able to cut down cabbage easily so they could make things like cabbage rolls or sauerkraut, all the rest. You could also have things like the washboard was around at that point, and your washboard would be very handy to wash clothes as well as other things as well. So a lot of different things that would help these guys get through the times.
You said originally when they came over, they'd be given 160 acres to farm. How was that allocated out?
The Manitoba government made plots. So it was at the time when it surveyed the entire western front of Canada, and each of those plots were put into 60-acre plots. So when you came across, you went to the land titles office, and they would give you that plot. So they'd show you on the map, this is where you're going to be. And that was also allocated based on what you had in terms of where you were back home. Were you surrounded by lakes? Were you surrounded by rocky areas? A lot of people got placed in areas around Manitoba based on where they lived prior in Europe. 160 acres actually is a fair amount of land. And a lot of times, these groupings coming across from Europe, 160 acres was an unfathomable amount of space that they would actually never even have idea of being able to get that much space. So yes, it was a very manageable amount of space. As long as you were 18 years of age, you could actually get that plot of land. So even if you were young, your parents could get a plot, you could get a plot. This is more land than people could ever imagine having the opportunity to acquire.
And what happened if you did get a not very good area, I don't know, very rocky or no water or something?
If you were unlucky to get a spot that wasn't quite as conducive to farming, you had a hard time for sure. And a lot of times you would try and either get a new plot or sometimes you'd have to work together with your neighbors to make the best of it.
What sort of community spirit was, did people often, I could imagine, for example, during the winters, it could be quite difficult. Did people stay where they were or did they tend to move around?
Especially in the first little while, if people came across a little bit too late and they weren't having the time to be able to build a home that was secure enough, a lot of times people would actually take them in for the winter and they would be able to have a community feel for that winter before they were able to build a proper home and all the rest. A lot of times if you were, after that, settled, you would actually have a community feel. So people would get together, they would work together and have a wonderful winter where they'd create create different things. They do a lot of sewing projects for the women and stuff like that. So it was very community-based.
That's Lisa Turner from Fort White Alive near Winnipeg in Manitoba, Canada.
Interviews from Passion for the Planet.
Copyright Passion for the Planet.
Listen to more interviews online.
Hear health, environment, lifestyle, personal growth and business experts when it suits you.
Find out more at passionfortheplanet.com.